Welcome to the DBNR Weekly. I'm Clark Devereaux, and this is your 5-minute fix of AI news that actually matters. The enterprise AI market split in public this week, not over model quality, not over who has the slickest demo, but over a simpler question. Do your agents work for you, or do they work through a vendor-controlled toll booth first? SAP just answered that question. And if you're treating your next renewal like routine procurement, you're missing the part where your AI strategy is about to get priced, permissioned, and possibly trapped. I've been predicting since February that one of the big enterprise vendors would make the railroad company move, control the route, charge rent on the traffic, and call it safety. SAP got there first. The revised API policy is the headline, but the real story is the architecture it forces. If third-party autonomous agents can't call SAP APIs directly and must route through Joule, that's SAP's AI assistant, then SAP is no longer just your system of record. It's trying to become the mandatory intelligence layer sitting between your business and your own workflows. Forrester said the quiet part out loud by calling this an attempt to become the gatekeeper of enterprise AI. I think that's exactly right. SAP will frame this as governance. Fine, governance matters. But if governance were the primary motive, we wouldn't be looking at a market where Salesforce, ServiceNow, and Oracle are all moving toward more open interoperability in the same window SAP moved toward closure. That's not a technical inevitability, that's a strategic choice. Here's the business problem. External agents routed through Joule create double inference, more latency, and less predictable outcomes because now two agent stacks are reasoning over overlapping context. That's not a small implementation detail. That's a performance tax and a reliability tax. If you're an SAP customer, your first question at renewal is no longer about discounts. It's this: which of my AI investments require Joule, and which ones can I take with me? The ones you can't take with me are not assets, they're rent. Now, industrial AI had some genuinely good news this week. Cisco research shows 61% of industrial organizations now report live AI deployments in physical operations, with 20% calling them scaled and mature. Manufacturing, logistics, utilities, these are not toy environments. But here's what keeps bothering me. The headline statistic is much stronger than the public evidence underneath it. When you push for clean before and after operating data and actual descriptions of what the agent did versus what the workflow did, the market gets hazy fast. That's because most deployed agents still look like structured workflows with bounded autonomy, usually 1 to 4 tool calls inside predefined rails. And I want to be clear, that's not a criticism, that's competence. On the plant floor, boring is good, bounded is good, recoverable is good. The danger is vendors selling open-ended autonomy, while the successful production stories are mostly disciplined workflow engineering. So if you're evaluating industrial AI right now, skip the phrase fully autonomous and ask 3 boring questions. What are the exact tool calls? What's the fallback when one fails? And can I see the process map? The companies getting value have answers. The companies selling theater usually don't. Speaking of theater, here's the number too many buyers still aren't running. Per-step reliability raised to the number of steps in the workflow. At 85% reliability across 10 steps, you're at about 20% end-to-end success. Stretch that to 20 steps and you're around 4%. 4%. Even at 95% per-step reliability, a 20-step process still fails far more than most executives would tolerate if they saw it written plainly in a proposal. This is the compounding failure problem, and no amount of branding changes the math. The frameworks are moving in the right direction. LangGraph added fault tolerance. Crew AI tightened failure signaling. Good. Necessary. But neither has published the clean reliability benchmark a serious enterprise buyer should demand before deployment. I still think somebody gets burned publicly on this before Q3 because the industry is marketing autonomy faster than it's measuring reliability. Finally, agent identity just became a real category, earlier than most enterprises expected. Oasis Security launched what it calls the first identity solution built for AI agents, and NIST is already shaping standards. What matters here is that this is not really a cybersecurity story first. It's an authorization infrastructure story. If an agent books a meeting, approves an invoice, or reroutes a shipment on behalf of your company, you need bounded authority, logging, revocability, and an audit trail. Who allowed this agent to do that is about to become one of the defining enterprise questions of the next 12 months. What sticks with me this week is not just that SAP drew a line. It's that most enterprise buyers will cross it without realizing they're making an architectural choice that may define the next 3 years of their company. I'll give SAP's competitors no halo here. Salesforce, ServiceNow, and Oracle are moving toward openness because openness is the better position when you're trying to win share. That doesn't make them saints, it makes them rational. The railroad companies didn't begin as monopolies, they became them. That's the pattern I'm watching. If agents are going to become true extensions of people, then the permission layer, the data layer, and the orchestration layer cannot all collapse into vendor-owned checkpoints. That's your weekly AI roundup. I'm Clark Devereaux. Stay curious, stay skeptical, and I'll see you next week.